Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, this morning I thought we'd talk about something pleasant. You're getting all the news you need from all kinds of sources about the world situation. So let's talk about flowers. You know, everybody's anxious. Well, nearly everybody, because it's spring. Yesterday was the first day of spring, and we're thinking there ought to be some spring flowers around. Well, there are, actually. Last week, I saw a full-blooming daffodil at the library. And some of you may have some or have seen some other places where the temperature is warmer because of perhaps being next to a building, being on the south side, being in the sun. Just happens to be that little mini culture where there's enough heat and less wind that those brave flowers stick their heads out. And also, yesterday, on the first day of spring, I found that I have three little mounds of snowdrops. Well, aren't they appropriately named? They're little white flowers. The little plant is only about, you know, 6 to 8 inches high. And it's full of little white flowers. Brave to stick out there. And I haven't checked it this morning to see yet if they were brave enough yet to be alive through all this extra cold that we've been having. But flowers. Maybe you're not into flowers, but lots of people are. And there's some interesting history related to flowers. So if you're not interested in the flowers, maybe you're interested in the history. A single flower or a huge bouquet may express love, remembrance, apology, support, or just being thoughtful. Throughout human history, flowers have played a significant role in terms of gifts and gestures and meaning. The meanings and traditions change, and as we look back in history, let's think about the rose. Yes, the rose was particularly important in England, where it was the national flower. And in the 15th century, we're going back a little ways, they represented two important families, the Lancasters and the Yorks. And the War of the Roses, perhaps you've heard of that, the War of the Roses occurred in England between 1455 and 1487, when the House of Lancaster, represented by the red rose, and the House of York, represented by a white rose, competed with each other to rule England. And the rose also inspired William Shakespeare. His play Romeo and Juliet contains one of the most popular quotes on roses. Juliet says, "A rose by any other name would smell as sweet." I'm sure you've heard that said, but did you know it was Romeo as written by Shakespeare? Well, because flowers have been around forever and that the language of flowers goes back in history to the ancient Greeks and the Romans, the Egyptians, there were a lot of myths and stories surrounding flowers. But the language of flowers became much more specific and a whole dictionary of language during the Victorian era. They lived in an era where they really didn't believe in, you know, vocally and expressing, and certainly didn't give hugs and all that sort of thing in public. So the language of flowers was the proper way as a form of expression. They went to great efforts. You know, I'm sure you've heard about, you know, the meaning of a fan and the way it was held. Well, flowers were perhaps even more so. There was a whole dictionary of what flowers meant, a whole language. It was like a foreign language to be learned in terms of the kind of flower, the color, its size, its condition, and if it was with other flowers, its position in the bouquet, and it could even be presented upside down for one meaning as opposed to the opposite meaning. So that was a whole language to learn. Sounds pretty complicated to me. And I'm happy that we don't have to follow that, because I'd never remember. I'd give a flower for the wrong reason for sure. Well, flowers, of course, are also a huge business in our culture. So what are the meanings of flowers that some people have written down. Not everybody agrees, of course, there's always a different one. But the meaning of each of the months, the birth month flowers. Did you know you have a flower just for your month? Well, let's go through the list. January birth flowers, carnations, and snowdrops. And I've already talked about snowdrops. They're the first ones to poke through the snow, so they represent hope and beauty. Carnation represents pride, beauty, admiration, gratitude, fascination, distinction, divine love. You know, you might even still need to send a note because who knows which one of those that you want to portray. February is the violet and the iris. And the iris's three upright petals symbolize faith, valor, and wisdom. And also friendship, hope, compliments, and passion. The violet stands for loyalty and faithfulness. The March flower is daffodil and jonquil. You know, a lot of us can't tell the difference between those two. And its bright yellow collar pokes through kind of early in the spring, so it's like a long-awaited friend, symbolizing rebirth and new beginnings. The April birth flowers are the daisy and the sweet pea, and daisies represent innocence, purity, love, and love conquers all. The sweet pea means blissfulness and pleasure. The May birth flowers are the lily of the valley and hawthorn. Lilies were so revered by the ancient Greeks that they believed they sprouted from the milk of Hera, the queen of the gods. Long tied to the Virgin Mary, the white Madonna lily represents virtue, while the lily of the valley conveys sweetness and humility. The June birth flowers are the rose and the lily. And if we have time, we'll talk a little more about roses because they have, again, so many different meanings. And the July birth flowers are the larkspur or delphinium and the water lily. The delphinium, the dolphin-shaped flowers, or larkspur, symbolizes an open heart and ardent attachment, also signifying a feeling of lightness and levity. Water lily represents purity and majesty. The August birth flowers are the gladiolas and the poppy. Gladiola, most of us just say glads, represents strength and moral integrity. The gladiola name comes from the Latin word for sword, so therefore that's strength and moral integrity. But while its sword-shaped stems may imply Roman gladiators, its romantic flowers are capable of piercing a heart with their beauty, explaining why infatuation is another one of its meanings. The poppy stands for pleasure, wealth, and success. The September birth flowers are the aster and the morning glory. So the aster was thought to have magical powers. In ancient times, it was believed that when aster leaves burned, their perfume could drive away evil. So today in September, the birth flower is known as a talisman of love and an enduring symbol of elegance. The morning glory just stands for affection. The October birth flowers, marigold. We see those a lot all year long, but they are so bright and rich colored. And early Christians believed that marigolds was Mary's gold and placed it by statues of the Virgin Mary. Brilliant and colorful with a late harvest warmth and a broad open bloom, marigolds signify affection and grace. The November flower, there's only one on my list, and it is the chrysanthemum. Not a surprise. Chrysanthemums are a symbol of the sun, have held many noble positions in ancient cultures. The Japanese consider the orderly unfolding of their petals to represent perfection. And Confucius suggested they should be used as an object of meditation, signifying optimism and happiness. The December birth flowers. Well, three on my list. Narcissus, those are the paper whites that you can order and they pop open finally and they smell really good. Holly and the one that's no surprise, the poinsettia. It's also known as a Christmas flower. Legend has it that poinsettias began as a humble weed. When a little girl with no means for a grander gift placed weeds on a church altar, they turned into brilliant red blooms. So they signify good cheer and merriment, and they are fitting tribute to our joyful celebrations in December. So until next time, if you can't talk to somebody, you can't see them face to face, maybe you want to send them a flower.